بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We started today with the Shaykh with the discussion of wudu and that wudu is a shart of the salah. So wudu is a shart from shurut al-salah, meaning you know it is precondition for salah, and that the salah, the prayer of a Muslim is nullified, is null, is invalid without having performed the wudu. And the general proof or dalil for this, of course, is the ayah in the Qur'an, which can be translated as, O you who believe, if you rise to the salah, then wash your faces and wipe your heads and your feet to the ankles. Hands and your feet to the ankles. And that was the general dalil or the proof of the wujub of wudu for salah. And of course, there is also the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the salah is not accepted from one who passes the hadath, and of course the hadath until he performs the wudu, and of course passing the hadath has been explained in by other narrations as, for example, one who passes wind, or you know, he relieves himself, but particularly one who passes wind in this context. And so this is another dalil that salah will not stand and will not be valid without the wudu being performed beforehand. And also the Shaykh also mentioned a few other, you know, dalils. Another was from the hadith of Mus'ab ibn Sa'd, where Abdullah ibn Umar came to one of the Sikh companions to visit him, and he asked Abdullah ibn Umar, he said, oh Abdullah ibn Umar, you know, make dua for me, I'm in this current state. And the Shaykh mentioned, he basically mentioned some things to him and said, and one of the things that the Shaykh mentioned that, you know, is relevant is that know that salah is not accepted without wudu. So Abdullah ibn Umar, you know, narrates this in this athar, that, you know, the salah is not accepted without the wudu. And also as a final dalil for the wudu being a shart for the salah is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the key to salah is purification, and its tahrim is the takbir, and its tahleel is the taslim. And the Shaykh gave a brief explanation. Of course, the key to the salah being the purification would be, of course, the wudu. So performing wudu, one purifies oneself and open allows, and so the salah can then become valid. And of course, the takbiratul ihram makes haram, of course, and is the tahrim of the salah, because then, you know, regular actions that are permissible become haram, of course, such as talking or excessive movements, you know, not related to the salah. And its tahleel is the taslim, meaning that once you perform the taslim at the end of the salah, what was made haram for you is now halal from the permissible act, because you have now completed your salah. So that was kind of a collection of some of the adilla, the proofs for the wudu being a condition, a shart for the salah. After that, the Shaykh moved on to the fara'id of al-wudu. And basically we listed them with, so then the first is the intention. And of course this comes under the umbrella of the general hadith of Ibn Umar, that the Prophet ﷺ said that actions are indeed by their intentions, and for every man is what, you know, he intended. And so this, of course the action of wudu, the ibadah of wudu, falls under this general umbrella, and so the intention is a fard of the wudu. Now, of course, the intention is its place is in the heart, and it's mentioning an intention or reading out some intention that I intend to do wudu is a bid'ah. There is no authentic narration. None of the companions, or of course the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, neither the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any of his companions were ever known to do this. And so its place is in the heart. One makes an intention in the heart that he will perform the wudu. He will go through these actions, these rituals, as an act of worship to perform the wudu as a precursor for performing the salah, inshallah. So that is the intention. Secondly, it is you know, mentioning of the name of Allah, or saying Bismillah. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is that there is no salah for one without wudu, and there is no wudu for one who does not mention Allah's name on it. So this is the hadith, the proof of the need to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name as a precursor, as a fard of wudu. And Shaykh mentioned that, you know, this is the what was explained by Al-Hafiz al-Mundhiri, and that group of scholars, and he mentioned Imam Ahmad, that they take the opinion that it is wajib to say Bismillah before wudu, is wajib, because it fulfills this the intent of the hadith of mentioning Allah's name on the wudu, so that saying Bismillah. And then the third is gargling and drawing water through the nose and then forcing it out. This is the third fard of the wudu, and once. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he ordered the companion, said, if you perform wudu, then gargle. And so, of course, in Arabic, this is fi'l amr. And so it is a command. It is taken as an order for wujub. When this type of form of the verb is used in Arabic language, it is taken as an order of for wujub. So this is the proof that it is wajib. And he also mentioned, the Sheikh also mentioned the opinion of Imam al-Shawkani, that this gargling and drawing water through the nose once, it is wajib for the wudu. Again, and their proof or the kind of justification for this is going back to the ayah of the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, O you who believe, when you rise to the salah, wash your face. And so the gargling, of course, in the mouth, gargling water in the mouth and drawing water through the nose and expelling it, these are taken to be obviously, these are obviously organs of the face. And so this would fall under the umbrella of wash your faces when performing the wudu. And so that is how they, why it is taken, that is how their opinion of it being a fard and wajib for the wudu is formed. And also, of course, there's also the fact that the Prophet ﷺ consistently did this in his wudu. Gargling and drawing water through his nose and expelling it, he did this consistently. And the scholars mention that, it is narrated by all those who narrated the form of the wudu of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they narrated that he would do this. And so, of course, again, under the general rule that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam consistently did, we take as wajib, as unless there is some sort of definite reason or excuse to say otherwise, or definite proof to say otherwise. And the Shaykh also drew the example of Salat al-Eid, for example, that why the scholars they say that it is wajib. The reason being that the Prophet ﷺ consistently did it, and so we take it as wajib. There's nothing to draw us from that, or there's no strong reason to say it is not. There's no dalil, there's no proof otherwise. Next is washing of the face again once, and again this one is very clear based on the ayah of the Quran. The exact wording is to wash your face. And the Sheikh mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is narrated and known that he did this, either once or twice, and some occasions three times. But basically, that doing it once satisfies the intent of the ayah. It satisfies the obligation there to wash your face. That once is sufficient. And in general, anything that is for wujub, you are satisfying the intent. So you are satisfying that, and you are doing what is wajib upon you. You might increase it to two or three times, but one is satisfactory in that regard. The fifth is the takhleel of al-lihya, which is kind of drawing your fingers with water through the beard. And basically, actually, the hadith is of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was performing wudu, he would take some water in his palm, and then he would kind of pour it under his chin, into his beard, and he would draw the water with his fingers through his beard. This is what is referred to as takhleel. And so takhleel of the beard, is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, and is one of the fara'id of wudu. Next, of course, is washing the arms up to the wrists, and again, once is satisfactory. And next, of course, is wiping of the head, and again, once is satisfactory. And of course, also the ears, and based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the ears are part of the head. And of course, washing the feet up to the ankles. So the Sheikh mentioned these last few ones very briefly, since they're very well known. And again, he mentioned that the dalil for this, the general dalil, general evidence for these body parts to be washed, is of course the ayah of the Quran that we mentioned, the general ayah of the wudu. And so some other specifics would be the tenth would be the takhleel of the fingers of the hands and of the toes of the feet. And again, takhleel means kind of like stringing your fingers through the gaps, making sure the water goes through. So you have to make sure that the water goes through the fingers of your hands and the toes of the feet. And in fact, the Sheikh mentioned that he asked his Sheikh, rahimahullah, that when does one do this? For example, if you repeat a certain cleansing of a body part twice, do you do this on both occasions or only on the first time? And the Sheikh's answer was, it is satisfactory to do it once. So if you do it on the first time, then that is satisfactory. If for some reason you don't, then say on the second time you're washing your hands, you make sure the water is running through your fingers and you run that water through the gaps between your fingers. Similarly with your feet and the water through your toes. You make sure you do that at least the one time if you wash your feet more than once. And again, the dalil for this is there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where he orders the companions that if you perform the wudu, then perform this takhleel through your fingers. And so that is the obligation for that. That is where the obligation is. Next is the sequence in time, and also not leaving unnecessary gaps in time between one action and another. For example, not doing one action of the wudu and then waiting unnecessarily and leaving a large gap of time before continuing with the wudu. So keeping it sequential and close in time. This, again, there's some different opinions, but most likely the correct opinion is that this is wajib. It is wajib to be able to perform these actions in sequence, unless there is some strong reason not to. For example, water gets cut out for some reason, or something happens beyond one's means. But the Sheikh mentioned that he mentioned the opinion of the Sheikh al-Islam, that he has, that he mentioned that there were three sayings or three opinions regarding this, but he's of the opinion that it is wajib, again, unless there is a valid excuse, such as water being cut out or such. So that is the opinion of Sheikh al-Islam, and the Sheikh adheres to this, or he was relaying this opinion that it is wajib to make sure of that sequence. And in fact, some of the adilla are in some of the hadith the Sheikh mentioned the general hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Woe to the rears of the feet." From the hellfire, when he saw that the companions were performing wudu, some of the companions, and they hadn't made sure to have the water reach the aqab. And he said the aqab is just the rear of the foot. So sometimes it's translated simply as ankle or heel, but it's just the rear part of the foot. But the direct dalil for the fact that the sequential actions are important for the wudu is that in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man praying, and he noticed that there was an area the size of a dirham, very small area, size of a dirham, at the back of his foot that was not wet. The water had not reached this part. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded this sahabi, told him to go back, told him to redo his wudu and redo his prayer. And so in this case, he did not simply mention to him, go back and just wet this part of your foot that you did not, that the water did not reach, and that would be sufficient. So clearly he had to re-perform the wudu in its entirety before it could become valid, and before, of course, the salah would be accepted. And so this is an evidence that this is wajib in wudu, to have this sequential action, and you can't just simply come back later on if you miss it, or leave large gaps and come back and continue with your wudu for no reason. Next is the starting, of course, with the right before the left, washing the hands and washing the feet, arms, and so on and so forth. And of course, the Sheikh mentioned that, of course, in general, there's the general ahadith about how it is preferred to start with the right before the left in many actions. But of course, but in fact, in this case, there's a specific hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordering us to, in the hadith, if you wear a garment or you perform wudu, then start with your right. So starting with the right is therefore taken to be one of the fara'id of the wudu in washing the different body parts. You always start with the right before the left. And then finally, the Sheikh mentioned is belk, or rubbing. This rubbing of your body parts if your hair is long. So for example, if you're on your arm or whatever, your hair is kind of long, you want to make sure the water actually reaches the body part, so you kind of rub it in, make sure it actually reaches. Or perhaps so the again, this is depending on the situation. If a person's need is that, if it's a person that has a little bit more hair in the body parts, then they make sure to rub to make sure the water reaches. And of course, it is because based on the general rule that if something that is wajib and is not is not established except by some other precursor, then that becomes a wajib. So in this case, of course, the wajib is to make sure your body parts, the water reaches them completely. And so if the only way you can ensure this is because you have long hair, you need to rub the water in, then that itself becomes wajib. And so that was the end of the discussion today, inshallah, and then the Sheikh mentioned that next week, inshallah, we'll start with the sunan of the wudu. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.